Epictetus, who has a killer name. Epictetus was a first century Greek philosopher, and he once said, "If anyone tells you that a certain person is speaking ill of you, don't make excuses about what is said of you, but rather answer, 'He must be ignorant of my other faults, else he would not have mentioned these alone.'" My name is Matt Coulter. I'm the teaching pastor here at Whitewater, as Adam said, one of the pastors on staff here. And that quote speaks to what we are going to talk about this morning, which is humility. We're continuing in our series through Philippians, the letter that Paul wrote to a group of Jesus followers in the city of Philippi. And we're in chapter 2 of that story this morning. I'm going to read to you to start out with chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. So I invite you to turn with me there if you've got your copy of Scripture along with you this morning. Otherwise, we'll have it up on the screen for you. "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." God, I pray that you would speak to us this morning. Don't let us leave here unchanged or unchanging. Father, just help us to know that you're here, and let us listen to your message. Amen. Amen. Well, we started that passage with some of the verses that we talked about last week when we talked about unity, and that's linked to what we're talking about this morning. That's why I wanted to read them again. But Paul uses Jesus to paint this picture of humility that we're supposed to emulate, that we're supposed to follow. And verse 5 is the famous kind of verse that you may or may not have heard before. Have the same mindset as Jesus. And do you know what my first reaction is when I read that verse? Well, crap. Have the same mindset as Jesus? You've got to be kidding me. Paul must not know me very well. But that's the whole point of this, that this would be impossible without some sort of external supernatural influence on our lives. And when we talk about this idea of humility, then there's lots of focus on this idea. And I think there's lots of misconceptions about what humility looks like, about what humility is. And those misconceptions can be incredibly damaging rather than helpful in our walk with Christ. Humility in the Greek literally means to bring yourself low or to not raise up far from the ground, right? But let me tell you, give you some idea of what humility is and what humility isn't this morning. This is what humility is not, you guys, and we're going to expand on this a little bit, but humility is not self-hate. Humility is not negative self-talk. Humility is not poor self-esteem. Humility is simply putting others before ourselves. Humility is, at its root, an embracing of the sacrificial love that we've been called to. Humility means not always having to be right. That's a difficult one for me to live out. Humility means not needing to always have the last word. Humility means not needing to have your opinion heard in every conversation. Humility literally means to bring yourself low, to make yourself low, but that's only half of it. Bring yourself low for the sake of lifting others up. That is humility. Humility is not bring yourself low so you can wallow in the dirt. Humility is not bring yourself low so you can stay there. Humility is not bring yourself low to feel horrible about yourself. Humility is bringing yourself low so you can lift others up. See, here's the deal. Scripture tells us that we should not think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Or in another place it says, think of yourself with sober judgment. In other words, think of yourself through the lens of reality. Think of yourself with sober judgment. It doesn't say beat yourself up with a negative judgment of yourself. It doesn't say judge yourself harshly so you feel like garbage. It doesn't say hate yourself. Think of yourself through the lens of reality. Guess what? You have flaws. That may come as a surprise to some of you. But everybody in this room has flaws. Guess what else? Everybody in this room has beauty. And to ignore the beauty is not to look at yourself through the lens of reality either. Humility, I found this incredible quote by C.S. Lewis that encapsulates everything that I'm trying to describe here for you this morning. And that is this: humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking of yourself less. Now, you guys need to know that I am usually not a fan of these cute catchphrases that use play on words, like that quote just did, right? Those are usually incredibly shallow, and I usually like to poke fun at them. But this one spoke to me. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it is thinking of yourself less. I have to admit that the first time I read that quote, it reminded me of the movie Mystery Men. Anybody else here seen that movie? A few people. See, this is like a cult classic. I don't know how a movie with Ben Stiller and William H. Macy and Hank Azaria and all these like famous people, Janine Garofalo, could be a cult classic, but it is. It's a fantastic movie. Your homework as you drive away from here or ride away from here this morning is to go rent it from Hastings and watch it. Or watch it on Netflix. Thank you. Yes, it is 2014. We'll put a link up to it on our MySpace page. Sheesh. For those of you who have not seen this movie, it's about this ragtag group of superheroes. It's incredible. And they need to train to become better. And they find this guy to train them named the Sphinx. And the Sphinx trains them by telling them these cute catchphrases. And these cute catchphrases are much like this quote from C.S. Lewis. And Ben Stiller's character finally gets frustrated and, well, here, watch, we've got a clip of it. Watch what happens.
This team must learn to work together, or mark my words, it will be torn apart. Now, gather round. Gather round, embrace one another. Gather round. Embrace one another quickly.
Roy.
Why do you stand aside while the others practice?
Practice? That's not practicing. That's group hugging. We should be busting in on Casanova right now.
He who questions training only trains himself at asking questions.
What?
Who is looking for the painting shears? Oh, that was me.
Ah, yes.
Work well on your new costumes, my friends. For when you care for what is outside, what is inside cares for you.
You know, the clock is ticking here. Are we going to sew dresses all day, or are we going to rescue Amazing? I need a thimble. Anybody?
Patience, my son. To summon your power for the conflict to come, you must first have power over that which conflicts you.
Okay, am I the only one who finds these sayings just a little bit formulaic? If you want to push something down, you have to pull it up. If you want to go left, you have to go right.
Your temper is very quick, my friend. But until you learn to master your rage...
Your rage will become your master? That's what you were going to say, right? Right?
Not necessarily.
Okay, you know what? That's it. I'm out of here.
So what I've done here is cleverly made you remember this quote from C.S. Lewis now forever. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it is thinking of yourself less. And as cheesy and campy as that sounds, it is also incredibly powerful, much more powerful than anything the Sphinx had to say in Mystery Men. It perfectly describes what Paul is saying in this passage. Notice how he starts talking about this idea of humility in verses 3 and 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Sounds exactly like what we've been discussing this morning. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. Here's what I want you guys to remember this morning. A great way to understand humility. Humility is asking yourself, how can I position myself as a servant today? This is what Paul is guiding us towards here. Verse 5 is the famous have the mindset of Jesus verse. But look at the beginning of verse 5, how Paul starts it. In your relationships with one another, have the mindset of Jesus. In other words, the fact that we are doing this Jesus-following thing together, side by side, shoulder to shoulder, is assumed. It's understood. Right? And that's where this humility thing plays itself out. Right? You don't get to be humble and develop humility locked away alone by yourself somewhere. Humility plays itself out as you interact with humans, with frustrating, broken, prideful, beautiful, lovely humans, just like you. In your relationships with others, have the mindset of Jesus. And Paul lines out for us then exactly what that looks like, right? The first half of this idea of humility is in verse 6, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Right? There were numerous times that Jesus, who was equal with God, because he was God in some mysterious, inexplicable way, could have used that to his advantage, to his benefit. But instead, he chose not to. Right? And so the first half of this idea of humility is having the attitude of a servant. See, this idea of rights, what I could do, what I have the right to do, have little applicability in the kingdom of God. In fact, oftentimes embracing kingdom values and kingdom living means giving up your rights. Giving up what you could legitimately have done in order to fulfill the role of a servant. And that leads us to the second half of this idea of humility then. The first half is having the attitude of a servant. The second half is doing the actions of a servant. Because having the attitude of a servant doesn't mean squat unless you live it out. In verse 7, Paul writes, Jesus made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Right? what would it have mattered if Jesus has the attitude of a servant up in heaven? Yeah, being like, yeah, I'd totally go down there and become a human for those guys. Yeah, absolutely. And then never did it. I'm going to geek out on you guys for a little bit. Because in a few months from now, for those of you who may not know, if you weren't here on the Sunday that we made this announcement, I'm stepping down from being the teaching pastor here at the end of December. So in a few months, I'm not going to have the opportunity to geek out on you guys. So you're going to get a lot of it over the next 2.5 months. I'm going to geek out on you for a second here. This Greek word that is translated in verse 5, have the attitude or have the mindset of Jesus, that is all just one Greek word, and it's incredibly difficult to translate into English because it's kind of this combination of a couple different Greek words, and it means having personal insight of oneself, which displays itself in outward behavior. Okay, it's kind of this weird combo word, or personal opinion fleshing itself out in action is one way to put it. Literally, the first word means something from your gut, and then the second word means something that is decided with action. So you have this opinion of yourself or this attitude, and once that gets in line with God, right? Not self-hate, not self-loathing, but thinking of yourself through the lens of reality. Once you understand that, and then you position yourself with the attitude of a servant, what Paul is writing here, he's saying, now you need to live that out. You need to do that. You need to act on that. The first half is having the attitude of a servant. The second half is doing the actions of a servant. But there's more even after that. The third half, can you do that? Not very good at math. The third half of this idea of humility is going the extra mile. You have the attitude of a servant. You start living that out, have the actions of a servant. Then the third part is going the extra mile. Because in verse 8, look what Jesus does. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. It's one thing to be a servant. Following Jesus means oftentimes being a servant twice over, right? This is a concept which is clear throughout the pages of Scripture, right? When Jesus says, hey, if somebody demands your cloak, give them your tunic as well, right? It would be serving them to give them the cloak. Jesus says, hey, go one extra step. If a Roman soldier makes you carry his pack for a mile, why don't you carry it one extra mile for him? Or if you flip over one book to the book of Colossians, you'll read about how on the cross, Jesus disarmed the powers and authorities by being nailed to the cross, right? His act of sacrificial love disarmed the powers and the authorities. And by that, Paul is talking about the spiritual powers and authorities that are in control of this world. But Paul goes on to write, he didn't stop there. Jesus didn't stop there. He wasn't satisfied with just disarming the powers and the authorities. Paul goes on to say, and then he went on to make a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. So Jesus goes the extra mile in crushing the powers and authorities of this world. So have the attitude of a servant, do the actions of a servant, and then go the extra mile. So then what might this look like for us today, for you today? That's the question I hope that you ask yourself in the days and weeks to come. I want to talk about it from my personal experience, and this is tough to talk about because the old oxymoron, which is true, that anybody who stands up and says, I am humble, isn't. But for the past 6, 7, 8 months, I have been getting my base kicked, if you will, by God in the area of pride. And I feel like through that painful process, I've learned a few things. And so I speak from a position of someone who has been humbled and who has experience to share. But pride is mentioned more times in Scripture than almost every other sin combined. And there's a reason for that. It's the root of so many other problems, and it's an absolute antithesis to kingdom living. But here's what humility then looks like in a couple of small areas in my life. And I hope you will find, as you begin responding with humility in small areas of your life, that it becomes easier and easier, as we're going to talk about here, to respond with humility in the larger areas of your life as well. But I just received a promotion at work. I am back at work at the university full-time in the president's office as their budget and fiscal coordinator. So the dude standing up in front of you now is a boring accountant. My position in the president's office prior to this was the front desk, and I was responsible for making the coffee and getting the mail and all sorts of fun jobs like that. And I thought I understood service when I was in that front desk position. Turns out, I was just doing my job. It's not really service if you're getting paid to do it. In my new position, my responsibility is not to make the coffee and get the mail anymore. But when I go back to the break room and I see that the coffee pot is empty, I have a choice. I could go out to the new front desk person and do exactly what people used to do to me when I was on the front desk and say, "Hey, Matt, the coffee's empty. Could you refill it, please?" Or I can just make the dang coffee. So even though it's not in my job description anymore, I make the coffee. I make a pot or two every day, not because I get paid for it, but because it's a way to serve the new front desk person. Now let's talk about that is having the attitude and the actions of a servant. Going the extra mile then would be maybe bringing somebody their coffee or buying somebody some coffee. In meetings now, as I sit in meetings, I used to have this burning desire to have my opinion heard, to be right. And I've learned to keep my mouth shut. Humility for me when I'm sitting in meetings now looks like I don't have to be the expert on this. And going the extra mile then beyond that is highlighting somebody else, recognizing somebody else as having a legitimate point of view or being a quote-unquote expert on a situation. It's not having to be in control. It's sitting back and not being passive, but not demanding to be heard. Humility looks like asking, "How can I be a servant today?" In the parking lot, it means taking a spot further away from the front door so somebody else can have a closer parking spot. In all these little tiny ways, they start making little tiny differences that add up to great big deals. Humility looks like asking, "How can I position myself as a servant today? How can I honor someone else above myself? How can I lower myself in order to lift someone else up?" And notice what happens when we do that. When we take that posture of lowering ourselves, look what happens. The rest of the verse that we read this morning, starting in 9. "Therefore God exalted him," Jesus, "to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Now, obviously, that exact thing is not going to happen to us. But the principle is solid. That when we lower ourselves, God lifts us up. Right? James, the half-brother of Jesus, said it very straightforward in his letter. He said, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up." Jesus himself said in the Gospel of Matthew, "Those who humble themselves will be lifted up." In other words, when we lower ourselves for the sake of lifting others up, God will then lift us up. And that's the whole point of humility. Its intent is not that you stay down. You lower yourself to help others, and God raises you up. Then you lower yourself again for the sake of others, and God raises you back up. And the more you do it, the more that this becomes a holy rhythm of life. It's an attitude that finds its match in action. Humility is not associated with self-hate. Rather, humility destroys hate, just as it destroys pride. Scripture calls pride the unplowed field of the wicked. You know what happens when we bend down? We plow that field, and we plant, and we break up the dirt. And humility then finds fuel from the gratitude and the joy that we plant there. Because humility takes our focus off of ourselves. Whether our focus is on ourselves for better or for worse, humility takes our focus off of ourselves and places it on other people and the God who loves us all. Let's pray. Father, through the Apostle Paul here and his words that he wrote thousands of years ago, you're calling us today to humility. And I thank you that your word is living and active. God, you're calling us to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, to not look to our own interests, but calling us to look to the interests of the people around us. And I pray that you would teach us how to do that. I pray that you would help us lower ourselves so that you don't have to lower us against our will, because, God, you will. But, God, help us to lower ourselves. Help us to experience you lifting us back up and help us to develop that holy rhythm of life of just humility over and over and over again. God, I pray that this would not be false humility, that we would not be full of self-loathing, or that we wouldn't be full of self-pride, but God, that you would show us the healthy way, the beautiful way to live out this value of humility in your kingdom. God, help us to develop the attitude and the actions of a servant, and help us go that extra mile. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Grace and peace, you guys. That's it.